with episode 580 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville, and since Bronze Thumb is still not here to say it, I will have to step in and say, Yahoo, no, it's a movie next.
This is Gary from Jacksonville, and darn it, you beat me to my tagline. Oh, well. But don't worry, I'm sure there'll be some comic book news to assuage me.
Isn't there always comic book news these days? I'm sure that's true. But yes, this – now, I know, usually we start off our week with news, but since things are relatively slow right now, we started off with our kind of retrospective of the last year. But now we're going to get here in this episode the most recent genre news as of the time of recording, and we have a few items here, a few more than what we've been used to the last couple weeks. Things slowed down big time after all those announcements of fall schedules, but now it seems like we see some jockeying taking place between some changes in the schedule, a little bit more about what the new seasons are going to look like, and so on and so forth. So we do have some things to cover here, and well, Edmund, I think you have some kind of news disclaimer, statement of intent,
yes.
Reading of tea leaves, something along those lines.
Yes, unlike during our episodic discussions, in the news, we are going to spoil you in all the right ways by telling you all the wonderful news that you might have missed, but that you really, really need to hear.
That's right, and I'm going to start off here with a piece of information that we had kind of gotten before, but now we get a little bit more detail on it. Fox is, in fact, trying to spin off 24 now that Kiefer Sutherland has said he's not going to come back and play Jack Bauer again. They're not going to recast him, of course, but they may bring him back in a smaller capacity as they introduce a new character to lead the 24 franchise. In this case, Howard Gordon, that... Peon of plotting, I guess you could say, says that the spinoff will feature a new 20-something male terrorist hunter. I hope he just walks around calling himself, "Hi, I'm a terrorist hunter."
Yes.
Anyway, that this character, Gordon goes on to say that this character will work alongside a veteran female agent, but it would not necessarily be Yvonne Strahovski's Kate Morgan character from Live Another Day, to the great dismay of many fans of that particular miniseries. But Gordon does go on to say that Kate Morgan and Jack Bauer could appear throughout the new series along with, I'm guessing, this new lead character. Manny Coto and Evan Katz are attached to the spinoff as executive producers and writers, and they, of course, have been kind of helping Gordon shepherd the latter days of 24. So, considering that everything left off really well at the end of Live Another Day, I don't know whether or not to take this as good or bad news. I'm kind of leaning towards bad, actually. Let it lie. Let it stay. You redeemed it. Keep it there.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting I'm getting reminded of when Spooks, known as MI5 over on this side of the pond, tried to do their spinoff where it was sort of the younger, hipper, more cyber aware side of things, and it just lasted a series and died, and then you know they continued on, I think, with two or three more of series of the main show.
Hmm. Yes, indeed. So we. Let's see if we go on then to our next item here. Gary, I believe this is, in fact, comic book related news. I know.
What are the odds that there would be comic book news about a Marvel series? Well, we've hit them because that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Casting news. Luke Mitchell, who played the, are we allowed to call them Inhumans at this point?
Yes.
Good. They played the Inhuman who can manipulate electricity called Lincoln, will be returning as a regular character for the third season. I'm not sure in what capacity he'll be back, whether he'll be an antagonist, whether he'll be come onto the team, or what his role is. But I guess he was handsome enough that they wanted to bring him back. So thank goodness the Terrigen Mists were kind to him.
Interesting, you feel that way. No, he certainly, I guess, was a popular Inhuman character, and as the show ended its second season, it kind of gave you every indication that Skye was going to put together a team of powered individuals, and why wouldn't she go with somebody that she had some degree of trust in? So there you go. Gary, there's also another piece of news about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here.
Oh, gosh, we just can't get enough of this. And this one, I think I like it a lot better than Lincoln because this guy is going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in some way. Henry Simmons is also returning as a season regular for season 3. And for those of you who don't know who Henry Simmons is, he plays Mac on the show. He had a sort of falling out towards the end, but then came back in to help the team as things really got bad on the carrier. So he's going to be back, and they're really starting to fill in the characters, and I hope that we're not losing anyone as these new characters are coming in.
Well, these are characters that I guess were kind of considered recurring last season, and they're going to go ahead and bump them up. So that's at least something. I don't know that we're losing anyone in particular at this point, because they did kind of wipe out quite a few at the end of the season, at least as far as the other recurrings are concerned. But no, we're going to have constant repeats of going back and talking to Sky's father in his new personality.
Yes.
Really, that'll be riveting mid-season episodes. I'm sure of it. Okay, I'm obviously wrong on that note. Edmund, I think there's some little piece of information here.
Yes, ABC. We have scheduling news, actually. ABC has apparently pulled Of Kings and Prophets from its fall lineup, and apparently it's because they are going to undergo casting changes. So that's quite a bit more serious than just the usual we need to retool the scripts. It means that Quantico, which had been slated to for the Tuesday 10 p.m. slot, which has been a little troublesome for ABC recently, and of course put it right opposite Person of Interest, so there was no chance I was going to be watching it. will now fill Of Kings and Prophets slot on Sundays at 10, when of course there's always plenty of other good stuff on as well. So
there is.
So again, I might not be watching it in that slot. But.
Exactly. So there. I that sounded a lot more like a question than I meant it to. I meant it to be yes, there is. But anyway, let's see here. Moving on from ABC to the CW, or no, to CW, excuse me, cable. We get some information about some animated series on, I believe it is Disney XD. And in this case, it is, hey, look, comic book related. Yeah, how could I? You guess there, Gary? The tagline here is same heroes, new villains. Marvel's Spider-Man and the Avengers return for all new seasons on Disney XD. It'll be season 3 of Marvel's Avengers, subtitled Ultron Revolution. That's where Ultron, of course, engages them in a Dance Dance Revolution tournament. But there we are. Season 4 of Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man, subtitled Versus the Sinister Six. They really are pushing the Sinister Six thing, even though the
movie's falling.
Yeah. But anyhow,
could I also point out, adjacent to this, they've also canceled the X-Men cartoon.
Did they?
Yes.
I don't know that I see that anywhere.
No, it's not listed on this because, once again, you know, with our whole X-Men Fantastic Four conspiracy, they have canceled the cartoon.
Crumple up your tinfoil hat. Next thing you know, Jade Helm is all about getting rid of the X-Men off of the shelves. Anyway, no, I have no idea what that's all about, except for that clearly here they are trying to pick up on whatever interest there might be based on the Avengers film from this summer and wherever they're going with the Spider-Man films. But it's not going to be the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff, so I don't know what the heck they're doing here. I don't know that the Sinister Six is supposed to be involved in Spider-Man anytime soon either, so eh. But there we are. We are going to have some animated stuff. And Gary, are you following either one of these?
I was following some of the Spider-Man, but it's been fairly lackluster. There's really not any depth to it. So,
okay. Well, not missing anything then. I was curious because there was all that talk about there being an Avengers animated series that would be quote-unquote in canon with the MCU, but this doesn't seem to be the one they were talking about. So.
No.
I guess maybe that fell through or it's a future thing. Anyhow, Gary, this one, next one, I kind of hand it off to you because it is a topic that you typically like to kind of expound upon. So.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear that sound? That's the sound of coax cable getting ripped out of people's walls. What we're talking about is yet another nail in the coffin of our traditional TV viewing and cable systems. Showtime, much as HBO has, is going to offer their own standalone service over the internet for a mere $10.99 a month. And as I point out, $10.99 a month, I would like to point out also that the average cable subscription fee is somewhere around $15 a month to carry Showtime. So they are undercutting their traditional base of viewer with this pricing. If I were Comcast or Time Warner, I'd be wondering what we're going to do for next year because there's more and more channels. And when I say channels, I mean the good channels, not like channel 385 that you get stuck with in your package. But the good ones are keep spinning off to be independently available. I'm all for it, although gosh, I don't know if I can afford to pay $11 or $12 for every cable channel that's out there. So if HGTV thinks they're going to get $12 a month from people, I don't see it happening. So I'm curious where the price point will float around. But for right now, they're undercutting their normal prices. So I think they're going to have a lot of people jump on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to say that they are pushing to a point where there's really not going to be a justification to pay for premium channels at this going forward. Because you can just, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, this is interesting news. As you said, people continue to have reason to cut that coaxial cable. And I think the noise you were hearing was that somebody's stealing it from my neighbor's house in order to sell copper.
Well, although that's, but stealing is another issue with this. As this becomes a password provided service anywhere on the internet, HBO is already running into issues where they're seeing 10 to 20, even 50 people logged into a single account or trying to log in. And so they know it's getting shared all around. So I don't know where the next level of security will come. Obviously, with a cable going into a house, it was pretty easy to know where it was going. Nowadays, it won't be. So I won't surprise me if at some point there's some extra level of security put on these services.
Mm. Quite possibly, quite possibly. All right, let's see here. The next one, I'm trying to find where that's at. Sorry, it's taking forever for Edmund. I think it's you, actually.
Yes, it is.
I believe that this has got to be some kind of strange alternate timeline. Inspector Space-Time, what's happening?
Yes, well, of course, after being canceled from NBC and then rescued by Yahoo, the Yahoo is now in discussions with Dan Harmon to bring Community back for season 7. Which I'm afraid I've not caught up, but just from the comments I saw on the web, and certainly from our co-host himself on Facebook, this 6-season finale already went pretty meta, or extremely meta, where they were imagining possible season 7 scenarios. So they were kind of getting a jump on. Well, we're not sure if we're coming back, but if we do, this is what we might do. So now they will actually get a chance to possibly actually follow through on all of that.
This just does not compute. All right.
This isn't what I read it. I thought there was the movie was coming next.
Yeah, man, that's
this really blows them off. They should really protest that they're not getting the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah. So, Gary, I think that we actually are. This is kind of in the middle between movie news and casting news, so I don't think we can hit the chime just yet. But we do have some news, I guess, about the potential casting.
Shut yes, we have not committed to casting, so yes, the bell must stay silent. And honestly, this one took me by surprise. I thought they had already finished this. What we're talking about is the next Spider-Man movie. There had been talk that Asa Butterfield, the kid who played in Ender's Game, was going to be Peter Parker. But now we see this news story where they said, wait a minute, we have not decided yet. They have 6 contenders. For the sake of brevity, I'll skip going through all of them. But Asa Butterfield is not the slam dunk person for this role. They're hoping to make an announcement within the next week or so as we're recording this. So we'll have to see. They're flying everybody in to keep doing screen tests to find the right person. And I suppose it's good that they're putting this much effort into it. And I'm curious why they backed off the Asa Butterfield in the first place. I wonder what what went on that they said, no, let's take another look. So we'll have to see. And since Marvel has sort of recaptured the Spider-Man license, he will be in the Civil War movie, which has already started shooting. So I'm a little surprised they're waiting this long to make the final decision.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, what's even more intriguing is that it's actually reached the point where, yeah, not only is he not the front runner, but they have here that one source cautioning that there is even a slim chance that they won't like any of the 6, and we'll keep looking.
Oh, well, like I said, they're already shooting. You know, they're already started shooting this movie, so I can only imagine it's going to be a very small role that he'll be in. And in the comics, it was a pivotal role for the whole argument between Captain America and Iron Man. So I'm a little disappointed that it seems that the role is minimized, but that's not surprising given that they want to keep the focus Avenger related.
Hmm. Very interesting. I imagine that yeah, it's going to be probably a brief cameo, so it's not too bad that they haven't cast yet, but we'll see. All right, let's move on then to the next piece of... is, in fact, casting news. Okay, and Edmund, you get the first one here, because yes. I'm not trying that one.
Oh, it's not that hard.
Come on.
Nope. Not doing it.
No, but this is news that we have casting news for Heroes Reborn. And once again, it is the news that Senthil Ramamurthy will be back reprising his role as geneticist Mohinder Suresh. So which brings us up to, what is it now? I think about, we're up to about half a dozen previous cast members. I guess it makes it five. So no, yeah, I perhaps when we hit the full half dozen is when we'll just realize this is just the continuation of, it is season five or volume six or whichever one they're up to.
Volume 7.52. Yes. I'm sure that's what it'll be. Let's see here. Coming a little bit better off here is the casting news for Homeland season five, to kind of pick up off of where you were there, Edmund. We have a few people being cast as series regulars now for season five of Homeland. Alongside our friend Claire Danes, we have Sebastian Koch, it's Otto Doering is the name of the character, a German philanthropist and Carrie's new boss. We have Miranda Otto, who is playing Allison Carr, the current Berlin chief of station, working directly under Saul, Mandy Patinkin's character. We have Sarah Sokolovich, who is being played by or is playing the role of Laura Sutton, an American journalist in Berlin who works for the Doering Foundation. And then we have Alexander Fehling, who is playing Jonas Hoppich, a legal counsel for the Doering Foundation and Carrie's boyfriend. No word on whether or not they are going to cast a young actor or actors to play Carrie's child. I believe that they did enough last season of Homeland to demonstrate why it's a good idea to just leave the kid somewhere else.
Yes.
Yes. 12 episode season, by the way.
Yeah, and we had already heard about the shift in locale, but seeing some of these character names and the associations, they are definitely getting closer and closer to Carrie territory, and that may not be a comparison they really want to start invoking. at least not for me.
Struggling to reconcile her guilt and disillusionment with years of working on the front lines in the War on Terror, Carrie finds herself in a self-imposed exile in Berlin, estranged from the CIA and working for a private security firm. With 12 episodes, we surely expect that to continue to be the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Saul's name would not have come up if there was no chance of her reconciling with her old boss. Mm-hmm. Gary, why don't you take the next one in what may seem like casting news for that is should be irrelevant in any logical universe.
Well, yeah, but he's really popular right now. What we're talking about is Dwayne The Rock Johnson is being cast to redo Big Trouble in Little China. Yeah, I know, heresy. Let me get through the story. this rewrite of this popular movie is being written by Ashley Miller and Zach Stennis, who wrote X-Men First Class, helped co-write Thor, as well as the upcoming Power Rangers movie. Johnson says that this movie has always been one of his favorites and he's looking forward to it. And given his recent success in the San Andreas movie, as well as his upcoming work in the new HBO series as a football manager, he's pretty popular right now, so I get the feeling that Hollywood wants to give him just any vehicle that they can put him in to, crank the money machine, so this is it. And I can't say that I've ever been a huge fan of this movie, but I have friends who are, and they're basically lighting torches. So I hope that Johnson can do a fair job in the role.
I have nothing against Dwayne Johnson as far as his acting ability or range or whatever. I mean, he tends to take roles that play very well to his strengths, usually comic roles, and they can be very enjoyable, those performances, because, like I said, he plays to his strengths. That said, you rarely want to touch the third rail that is some of the cult classics of the 80s, and Big Trouble in Little China is about as cult favorite as it gets. Yeah, I don't know that I would want to jump into that at all. You know, it's like we've said before, remakes should be for movies that were flawed and maybe there could be the potential for making a better version, not simply to make another version of a movie that is already just fine the way it is. See also Poltergeist. All right. Let's see here. We have a little bit more casting news as we consider, or as we continue to get more information about the 6-episode X-Files revival. Community star Joel McHale will guest star in the revival, playing Tad O'Malley, the anchor of a popular conservative internet news network who becomes an unlikely ally for Fox Mulder. Oh boy, this will be fun.
Yes.
Actually, I think that's really good casting, especially if they play it just a little ironically. But this being the X-Files, it may be played all too seriously, and that might actually work just as well if it's, you know, trying to generate or at least expound upon paranoia. And I'll leave it right there. And Edmund, if you can close out our news items for the week.
Absolutely. And that is that John Noble has been cast as Sherlock Holmes' dad when Elementary returns, and apparently will be a series regular, which I do find intriguing. I mean, I mean, given all of the secrecy that has revolved around this character and his sort of his shadowy existence, and that I'm rather intrigued that they're going from just having mentions of him to having him be a regular, you know, a regular presence. I kind of figured that when we got the news that Sherlock's dad was coming in the finale, that it was just going to be sort of, you know, it would be a you know, maybe just a few episodes and out. But apparently he's going to be around a lot more than that. And also in this news release, it does actually not that it was that uncertain, but it does confirm that yes, his son did just have a recent relapse. So.
So does this give you any hope for the next season of Elementary?
I'm guardedly optimistic, yes.
Can he play the Horseman of War as he did on Sleepy Hollow in the next season of Elementary?
Yes.
I might watch that, especially if they bring back Natalie Dormer as Moriarty. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of potential here. CBS, you listening? Anyone? Maybe not.
Let's hope so.
All right. Well, someone who is listening, and I want to thank him for giving us our feedback here, is Danger Mouse, longtime listener of the show. So thank you for your comments over at the VOG Network forums. And he says, are you guys going to cover the Netflix weekly show Between? Do you guys know what Between is?
No, I do not.
So, unfortunately, Danger Mouse, my first inclination is to say unlikely, but that may be something that we can look at and see if it is genre-related or not, but tell us more about it, maybe, if there's a reason why you think that it is something that we would be interested in. He also goes on to say, also wondering if it might be better to cover shows like Daredevil at maybe 2 episodes per week or something like that. The one per week deal seems a bit slow. It took me nearly a month after its release to finish it, but at this point, I have little to no memory of the episodes you're just now covering. Well, other than that kick-ass fight scene at the end of episode 2. And Danger Mouse, this is just a good excuse to go back and rewatch it. Come on. Now, I'm going to reiterate kind of our reasons for doing that, and I understand it does seem perhaps a little bit slow when there was a huge buzz about it when it first came out, and everybody was trying to get through it as fast as possible. I also know some people who are actually not that much ahead or that far behind us in the watching order here or in the watching schedule, and some people who just recently finished it because they didn't have time until now to get into it. And imagine that there are actually some people who have just finished final exams or something that are just now getting in, you know, back home from college and can finally watch Netflix or something. Who knows? But there are still people who are watching this slowly but surely, and this is as much for them as it is for the good of our ability to discuss the episodes, because especially at the very beginning, we were, you know, dealing with this show when we had 20 other shows running at the same time. Doing 2 at a time would not have given justice. And at this point, I think that it is also helping us have content. So 1 at a time is not necessarily a bad thing. I do kind of understand it. I had thought about, hey, once things start to clear up, do we increase the pace? But I think that we'll just kind of keep on this particular notion, especially since we have another show coming up in the next couple weeks that when we introduce it will also be treated in the weekly fashion. As it seems like the reviews are saying that Sense8 kind of works better if you have time to consider it versus try to ram it all down, and then people have a tendency to lose things along the way as far as, you know, perspective and context. Yes, I'm talking to you, IGN. Anyway, wow, look at that. Anyway, we are going to go ahead then and say thank you once again to Danger Mouse for your feedback. Anybody out there, if you want to give feedback, you agree, disagree with us, please leave messages over on the VOG Network forums. Send us some kind of email or you know, message via Facebook. We have a Facebook page where we post all of our reviews and we post lots of articles over there. So please, by all means, leave comments over there. One way or another, it's going to get back to us and it may actually show up here on the show. Any thoughts on what Danger Mouse had to say there, guys? Or do you? Or
well, I mean, we had sort of had this discussion off air as well, and in general, you know, as you're getting these shows, especially through Netflix, where they dump the whole season at you know at one time, like they've done now for most of their shows. Do you lose something by not having that time to sort of absorb it or look forward to the next episode? I personally think if you're going to watch it that way, it almost the shows themselves almost need to be written in a different fashion than waiting a week or you know several days between the episodes. There's a you don't have to leave the cliffhanger because there's really no point because there is no cliffhanger because you're watching it in another 3 minutes. So some of the structure I think really starts to change in those type of episodes when you start watching them back to back like that.
Yeah, it definitely can. You can see that even some network shows are starting to pace themselves differently in order to, I guess, afford the quote-unquote binge watchers with a semi-seamless experience down the line. And I think there is a certain balance that they are trying to strike here because they do put it out episodically, and yet they do also dump the entire season at once. So it's kind of played in a way that you can see it from either aspect, but I've got to say with Daredevil, I think that they do play it so that if you want to watch it episode to episode, you do get a nice little cliffhanger at the end. It's not like some of these shows. Like, quite frankly, I think that the Netflix model would have been great for The Sopranos because there were some episodes of that show that just kind of ended, just stopped, and then like you know the finale. But I mean, like, but for an entire season, you'd be watching an episode and it would just kind of come to an end and then pick up somewhere in the next one. So you kind of got a little bit of a balance now, but I am interested, Gary, in you know, as they go along with these Marvel shows, if they're going to continue to do this episode to episode. I think Gary just passed out.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to continue to put in those cliffhangers like you say, or if at some point the Marvel shows on Netflix are just going to become more of a chapter to chapter type thing where it's just a continuing show because they figure, yep, you're just going to binge watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I know my sense with Daredevil was they were still keeping to that sort of episode integrity, and I have gotten all the way through at this point, but I did not sort of binge it all out at once because I was fine. I mean, certainly some of those episodes were so intense, you know, and each episode really did feel like exploring a particular theme or you know telling a particular chapter of the story. So I did like taking the time between. To sort of digest it and then dive into the next one rather than doing it all at once.
Yeah. So I think we'll continue as we are and kind of see if maybe as time marches on, the formatting and the structuring changes enough that it just doesn't work that way to do it that way anymore. But for right now, it does seem more episodic than it does strictly serialized for the purposes of just hitting play or letting it just continue. Because I think now, yeah, the interface I have for Netflix now over Apple TV, literally if I don't do anything, it just starts playing the next one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, continue to sit on your couch and watch goodness.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.